What up, folks? Episode 88. Get out, the room is back. Episode 88. The march to 90. We are not doing 100. I guarantee we're not going to get 100. We might, by the grace of all things, are good, because this is happening right before we start December, so that would give us 4 weeks to get two more episodes in. Let's see if we can
do it. No, we definitely can do that.
Can. Will's a very different story. Can. We'll see. The march to 90.
Hey, but right now, hey, this is the second show in 2 weeks.
It is, but we also took a month and a half off.
Well, I'm not. Look, Damon, you always are bringing up this old shit, and I'm not liking it.
Yeah, I like drinking Scott. This is the Scott I like. This is the one I want. You know, but I will say we got Star Wars coming up soon, so that's the show.
Yeah.
I don't know if there are any other horror films coming out for the rest of the year, though.
Now, do you have your Star Wars tickets yet?
I do.
Oh, do you? Okay.
Yeah, but I don't like the times that I have them for.
What do you what day are you seeing it?
I think I have it for that Monday.
Oh, okay, Monday. Okay. We got Erica got us tickets for 6 on Thursday.
Yeah, no, I'm not gonna do the early show. That's just not worth it to me anymore.
Well, this was there were still some good tickets available, and 7 and everything after that on that Thursday and Friday at the theater we usually go to were all sold out. So this was the only one, and you get free popcorn. So
well, I only do theaters where you can choose your seat. So
oh yeah, that's what these are.
Yeah, I'm not doing that standing in line shit anymore. That's juvenile. I'm Garman. But check it out, man. Y'all are here listening to Get Out the Room, horror, pop culture, all things that we find interesting. I'm your host, Dave, as always. I got my man Scott with me. And he's exceptionally cheery this evening.
I am. I'm sitting here just going like, all right, hey guys, what's going on? It's great to be back after a month being gone. And I can't even pretend to do that now.
That's really fucking good. I'm excited because that means A, we're going to be talking about comic books. B, you're excited and halfway drunk. Should be a good one. Should be a good one. Why don't we go ahead and say you can find Get Out the Room at Podomatic, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, the Wicked Radio Network, Listenopoly, all places where podcasts can be found. We are there. We are available. We, as they like to say in the streets, we out here.
Yep.
So let's fuck it. Let's jump right into it, man. Taika Waititi's Thor Ragnarok, the comedy action, and that's just not a mistake, comedy first, the comedy action Marvel movie.
Well, it's more Guardians than Avengers.
It absolutely is. I wouldn't even say Guardians than Avengers. I'd say it's more Guardians than anything else.
It is, and it's, you know, I mean, so by now the Avengers Infinity War trailer's out, and the one scene that the Guardians are in the thing, they're interacting with Thor. So, yep. I mean, that's not a mistake.
Yeah. So apparently, you know, for anyone who has had any of the first bit of information leaked from the Comic-Con San Diego teaser, the movie opens with Thor basically running into their ship, like flying through space and just fucking running into their ship. So I think that is the opening scene of the movie that you see when Thor's interacting with the Guardians, and it will pick up right after the end of Ragnarok.
Oh, and that's probably how Hulk gets back to Earth too.
Correct.
Gotcha. Yep.
So yeah.
Wait, so does that mean the rest of the Asgardians die?
They very well may.
Damn. I mean, they just introduced that some of these characters that were in Thor Ragnarok, because there's some pretty interesting ones. And man, Heimdall for the win. I mean, that was
Yeah.
pretty cool too.
Heimdall was great, and Idris Elba had talked pretty extensively about trying to find a larger role within the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and they basically said, well, why don't we just make Heimdall more important? Which I think is great. He played an integral role in the entire movie.
He did.
Much more than the light-eyed silent person from the first two Thor movies.
Wait, who was that? Who?
I said from the light-eyed silent person from the
Oh.
first, they've expanded his powers, they've expanded his
Oh,
importance,
yeah. Yes. Sorry.
they've fleshed him out. He's now a three-dimensional character, and he's important.
I thought you were
He's
talking about a completely different character. My God. All right. Yeah, I'm.
no. You're with me now? You could?
Yeah,
Okay.
I'm good. Good.
All right. All right.
Yeah. No, he was like, yes, you're right. He in the first two movie, he was kind of, it was disappointing and boring. I mean, he didn't really do anything, and to have an actor of that caliber just kind of play a character like that after Idris Elba has hit, has kind of crossed over, is still kind of like almost offensive. It's just like, damn, you really need to utilize this dude better. And they
Yep,
did.
they did. You're absolutely right. They did. Hemsworth has tapped into a natural charisma and comedic timing that was hinted at during the pretty disappointing Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
But as Kevin, he was really funny. And stole a lot of scenes from some, damn near comedic luminaries with that foursome of females, man.
Right. Well, also, did you ever watch the shorts about Thor and his roommate?
Yeah.
I mean, that was actually really good too.
He's a funny dude, man.
He is a funny dude.
He
He
is
is.
a
I gotta be honest. I kept reading that a lot of reviews say this movie did for Chris Hemsworth what Winter Soldier did for Chris Evans.
I agree.
And while I think Winter Soldier is a, I dare I say a much better movie, and I'm only saying that because Winter Soldier is my favorite one.
Yeah.
But and Ragnarok's not that good. It is a good movie, but it does do that. I mean, now when I watch the Infinity War trailer, before when you're watching Age of Ultron, the problem with part of the problem with that movie is the only character that Marvel at that time and Captain America got up to that point. I guess the first Avengers is what I mean. The very first movie, which was a great movie, but the only character you truly cared for at that point was probably Iron Man. I mean, we wanted to care about Captain America, but his first movie was it was only okay, and the first Thor was only okay, and we didn't really know the actors too much at that point, especially Hemsworth playing the characters. And now that we've had all of this build up here, now Hemsworth finally gets a chance to shine, and he's got plenty. He has to show the screen with plenty of other characters, but I mean, this is his movie, and he really stepped up and did a good job.
Yeah, to your point, I don't necessarily think Winter Soldier is leaps and bounds better than this film. I think it's a different film. I think it sets up a completely different, it has a different role. Winter Soldier, for all intents and purposes, was an Avengers movie. And, it set up Civil War. It did a lot to kind of set the table for, it's actually a larger spoke in the cinematic universe wheel than Ultron.
Yes, in a way.
Not
I
even in a
mean,
way. Not even a way. You got Winter Soldier, you got Cap, you've got Crossbones, you I mean you've got the introduction
Well, but it never lost focus, though. I mean, it still is a Captain America.
Sure, but there's Hydra, there's Falcon, there's so much that happens.
The movies before that, and all of them before that. Now, there are great movies before that, obviously, but then the great ones are each great for their own reasons. But Winter Soldier was the first one that kind of felt as if they injected a little bit of the darkness into it. Like Marvel, when you watch a Marvel movie, you know, you never go in expecting the movie to be like bleak. Like, unfortunately, well, you know, the DC film universe, you know, a lot of those films tend to be a little bleak, and the Marvel movies, you don't walk in expecting that. And Winter Soldier had hints of it, but not, again, it wasn't a bleak movie by any means, but it had a little bit of that grit that you don't normally get in a Marvel movie, with a combination of what you do normally get with a Marvel movie to that really perfect balance. And that's kind of what made that movie shine. It was dark. I mean, you know, Captain America, when he's on that boat, man, he's fucking those dudes up with, you know, while he's infiltrating that boat.
And yeah, but see, all right, we're going to have this discussion because I feel like this is necessary. But I don't necessarily think that's dark. I think that's just showing who he is more than anything
else. Yeah, but I mean, when else have we seen stuff like that? I mean, like, one of the great things about Winter Soldier was the action was brutal. It was good, and it was just real. It just felt more.
It's the most realistic action of any Marvel movie to date. Up until that point,
it was Batman-ish.
I wouldn't go that far, but it was pretty tough. You know, you can look at scenes where Crossbones and Falcon are gonna fight. They cut away before they actually throw punches, before they connect and do shit. So, let's slow down on Batman. All right? But
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking more about Captain America himself. I mean,
I know what you're saying.
His battle with the dude on the boat, with the leader on the boat.
Yeah,
his battle with all those dudes in the elevator. His battle with Winter Soldier twice.
All of that shit is just to show Cap's prowess as a hand-to-hand combatant. This shit is really all about Cap. You know,
yes.
It raises stakes. It set a completely different course for Nick Fury.
Yeah.
And this also goes back to my original point of the fact that this is a much more important spoke in the wheel than even Ultron.
Well, and a lot of that has to do with it's just a way better movie than Age of Ultron was.
Yeah,
Go back and watch Age of Ultron. It's not a bad movie, but it's imperfect.
Sure, Ultron's not very fun. That's the thing about Ultron. It's a movie that's supposed to be funny.
For a franchise that still, for the most part, still has a lack of really great villains on the for as a whole, you would expect an Avengers movie of all movies to nail the villain, because you know in the first movie they got lucky, they reused the best villain they've ever had, and it worked. In Age of Ultron, you'd think, wow, James Spader's voicing Ultron. Ultron's a badass in the comic books, that'll work. And it just was like, I mean, it was just a guy with a robot army, and now he's gone, and there was no real threat because you knew nothing was going to happen.
Yeah, but that's kind of what changes with Civil War.
Well, yes.
Civil War almost retcons some of the feelings that come around from Ultron.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, the Sokovia Accords and all, like, there's an accountability that comes into play because of the fact that literally nothing happened in Ultron. Right?
That's a good. Yeah.
Right? So, we can almost, outside of the Hulk and Hulkbuster, we can almost take Ultron damn near completely off the board.
That scene is pretty tight.
That's the best scene in the film. With the addition of Scarlet Witch, there's nothing else. Like, there's some cool features.
The Quicksilver death also, I know that he wasn't a huge character, But
That
that, I
was
mean, that worked for me too.
it. It's the emotional heartstring because everybody thought that Hawkeye was going to die. So they spend the entire
Now,
fucking movie
back to that
working on
point, they
him.
should have killed him. They should have killed Hawkeye there.
I mean, like, he's outlived his usefulness, but he's the Batman
I mean,
almost.
but didn't that feel, and now that we're just talking about it, doesn't that feel kind of like rewrite-y? It, I mean, like, right?
It feels cheap, particularly because the way that they used Quicksilver, he's not that fucking fast. Like, Quicksilver's supposed to be, as fast as the Flash. You know what I mean? But he's
Or
not that.
as fast as Fox's Quicksilver.
Right. But Fox's Quicksilver is more in line with what that particular hero is supposed to be. That motherfucker bends time, he's so fast. You know what I mean? This dude literally went in and like sacrificed himself, but he's supposed to be fast enough to literally just move the bullets out of the way. Just doop doop, move that sideways, 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 and keep moving. That's how fast he's supposed to be, but he's not that. So that's just, we'll
Well,
take that off the table.
and that whole scene felt is, I mean, they set up the whole scene for the Hawkeye death, and while I appreciate them dodging it, and no pun intended, they you know, it feels cheap, not just for what you were saying about Quicksilver's powers, but it kind of feels cheap because it's like they did the typical meet his family, dive into his character,
Yeah.
make us care more about him, and then you just have him be, you know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
I mean, of all the characters that you want to see around and to be around, that's the he's the of the six main Avengers characters, he's by far the least interesting.
By far. By
And you know,
far.
I would assume that he's on the death list for this movie.
I think Cap's on the death list.
I agree, and that while I that would really suck, I think that's a good move. I honestly, I think they should probably kill Cap, Iron Man, and Thor.
Well, you can't do that. I mean, number one, A, Thor has just gotten to the point where he's, bringing
But
us
so is
back
Captain
to.
America.
No. Bringing us back to Ragnarok. Thor literally just figured out how to use his powers.
Yeah.
Let's be realistic about this. The motherfucker said, "You're not the god of hammers, you're the god of thunder." Thor literally just figured out how to use his powers.
But he's easy. Look, Thor is easy to write out of the story. He's probably the easiest one to write out of the story.
Is he?
Yeah. If even if you didn't want to kill him, all you have to do is just say that he's going back to rebuild Asgard. End of story. We don't see him for a while.
But see, we're past that. That's not a thing because they laid the groundwork for that saying that Asgard's not a place. Asgard is a people, so
Yes,
you
but
don't
and
need to rebuild.
it's a people that needs a ruler.
Well, they need saving. They need, safe haven, but that's unnecessary. Particularly because we're talking about Thanos, and if he accumulates all of these Infinity Stones, he can bend space and time.
Right.
So Asgard has to take a backseat to that because all of creation
Well,
can be done.
I'm not, but I'm talking about after. I'm not, yes, you're absolutely right. I'm saying in the post Thanos world, which is coming. I mean, at some point, the post Thanos world is going to be here in a couple years, and everything's going to, I assume everything's going to be different. We're going to be banking on guys like, Doctor Strange and Spider-Man and Ant-Man, Black Panther. I mean, they're the new guard, and we'll be moving towards them being the figureheads and whoever the new Captain America is. I too believe that Steve Rogers is going to die.
Bucky's gonna take up the mantle.
I would assume so, and I not to throw Falcon under a bus, but Bucky's a better Captain America. I mean, he just is.
Well, he's a more
That's
capable fighter. He's a super soldier, so it makes sense.
correct, and it's
Yeah.
just I mean, from the comics too, it just it. He's always been a better Captain America.
Well, he can actually throw the shield.
Well, but I mean, you could, you know, Falcon can learn that shit. The dude flies
No,
around
no,
with games.
no. No, no. No. To be able to control the shield, there has to be superhuman strength and reflexes.
I mean, yeah, yes, I agree. I know what you're saying, but I mean, they've been the Captain America in the comics has been Falcon for a while.
Oh, I know. And it was part of Marvel's push to, make diversity within their characters. I get it. And the
Yeah.
same reason why there's a female Thor and, why there's
But
a.
just see, and this is my big argument with stuff like this.
I know where you're gonna go with this, and I'm gonna disagree with
I
you, but
applaud the effort. I
still
really
would.
do. But man, focus. Why not just turn your attention to who you got? I mean, look how long it's taken us to get a fucking Black Panther movie, and that dude's awesome. I mean, that
Sure.
trailer, the trailer for his movie is almost as exciting as the trailer for the Infinity War movie.
Absolutely. I
And
agree.
that's what's unbelievable about it. Like, wow, you went ahead and made an Ant-Man movie first, and then you made a Guardians of the Galaxy movie first, and now
Yep.
you have a dude who leads an entire hidden advanced country with a his bodyguards are a group of badass women.
Yeah, sure.
And they're fucking dope. I mean, they're awesome.
Hey, sounds good in theory, bruh. Black Lives Matter.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So, as cool as the character is, the Miles Morales talk has calmed and cooled off a lot.
Well, he's not going to get his chance to the animated movie next year. I mean,
No, no,
that's.
no. No, I know. I know. I'm talking in general, though. Like, even in terms of the comics, folks are not checking for Miles the same way that they were. Especially since Peter stole his best friend and put him in a movie.
Yeah. You're right.
Right? Okay.
But I mean, but we both knew that when that deal got made, that it was always going to be Peter Parker.
You said it. You're like, we didn't make this deal to get fucking Miles Morales. We made a deal for Peter Parker. You're goddamn right. But having all of that said, Thor is a great fucking movie.
Yeah, let's bring it all the way back. We really fell down the rabbit hole there.
Didn't we? Taika Waititi, he's a Kiwi. He did an excellent damn job, man. He introduced my favorite character. And Korg,
Oh yeah.
and Korg, who was, if you know anything about the Planet Hulk and World War Hulk storylines, he's warbound. He is one of Hulk's brothers. He is a rock person. And Taika Waititi found a way to give him a New Zealand accent and just make him one of the most earnest characters in this entire ridiculous movie.
Oh yeah.
Where, even though you had Tessa Thompson, who's fucking incredible as Valkyrie, Jeff
Oh yeah.
Goldblum is
She was
always good.
fantastic.
Yeah, she was good. She was good every time she was on screen. She was good. Jeff Goldblum's good all the time. He's Goldblum, so he's par for the Goldblum. Like I said, Hemsworth was really, really good. The strangest thing is this new evolved Hulk.
Oh, you didn't,
Listening.
you weren't a fan?
It wasn't necessarily I wasn't a fan. It was just strange.
Huh, okay.
He has emotional ability of a 6-year-old.
Hulk, well, Hulk does, yes.
Yes, yeah, and. There's the way he relates to things and the way he acts. I can tell you, they got that shit really right. Because there are times my 6-year-old does some of the shit the Hulk did.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like what? Like what? I mean, what, is he beat up Thor?
No, not that part. But the conversations that they're having, when they're in Hulk's apartment, and. Just
Oh, yeah, and they're sitting there about the talking about the fire.
yeah,
Yeah.
and there's a lack of awareness to the power that your words have and the nuance of word meaning that comes along when you're 6, and
Right.
that's the way Hulk relates at that point. You know, and it was crazy listening to Banner say, I haven't been Banner in 2 years.
Which is also, that was a nice touch, by the way, too.
It was. It really, really was.
One of the great things, and so, I mean, now that we're talking about it, so, so for as good as Hemsworth was, this movie was really a, you know, it was a Thor and Hulk movie. And what's cool about this film was it kind of felt like a Civil War part two in a way, because we were getting the update on the other characters after the last Avengers movie finally. You know, at Civil War, we got Captain America and Iron Man and Black Widow and Hawkeye and all the other characters there, except we didn't get to see Thor, we didn't get to see Hulk, and we didn't get to see Loki. Now we're getting updates on the other main characters of the universe, and also a nice little cameo from Doctor Strange. And it's like we got the other half of the characters, like, oh, okay, now we get to see where these guys are. Okay, we're getting updates on them. So Hulk was a pretty major character, and they once again prove, in my mind, why it's important to have Hulk be the supporting character that he is. I actually like the idea of him being a supporting character, even a main supporting character in other people's movies. It's worked that way. It worked in Avengers. It worked in Age of Ultron. I mean, hell, you could argue he's the best character in Age of Ultron.
Yeah, I think so.
And then in Thor Ragnarok, I mean, you know, what was the exciting thing in the very first trailer we saw for Thor Ragnarok? It was seeing Gladiator Hulk come out of that door.
Yeah, because you know, anyone who's familiar with the source material is excited because of what that means.
Oh yeah.
You know?
Yes.
And
Well, because
like it.
Planet Hulk is very, very cool, and it has some really great supporting characters, like you were saying with the Korg, and even the little beetle kid, or
Yeah,
little
Meek.
dude, Meek.
Yep.
I mean, the supporting cast of Planet Hulk is very good, but I think in the cinematic world, you know, given where they have to go, and I know they have limitations with the rights with Universal, but he worked as Thor's buddy, as his sidekick of sorts. You know what I mean? As his, you know, co-pilot, I guess.
Yeah.
And I don't mind that. It's kind of like what Black Widow did in Winter Soldier. She was the perfect yin to his yang. I mean, they worked together really, really well in the movie. In my opinion, she doesn't need her own movie. And so I'm kind of relating Hulk that way.
The two female listeners we have are going to be mad at you for
No,
that shit.
but no, but it's not, that's not what again, I'm saying, let's focus on, you know, we're getting a Captain Marvel movie, and
Yeah.
that's going to be really cool. Carol Danvers is a fantastic character who deserves her own movie. And if we got a Black Widow movie, I'm not against that at all. My point is, I like the idea that they're able to mix the main characters of this franchise, and I'm talking about the Marvel franchise,
Yeah.
that they can focus on the main characters like Stark and Cap and Thor, but they can also say, well, you know what? Maybe Hawkeye works better as a supporting character. Maybe Black Widow works better as a supporting character. Maybe Hulk works better as a supporting character, because, you know, we don't need to focus on them, because we also have a lot of great non-Avengers characters. Doctor Strange, Spider-Man, Black Panther. I mean, these are other Captain Marvel, Ant-Man. I mean, they have all of these other great characters that they could start focusing on, and they each can have their own supporting characters as well. And if they join the Avengers, cool. If they don't, cool. But the Avengers have their own supporting characters, you know what I mean? And that's kind of what I like about it. It's universe building without having to force everything down our throat. And that's one of the things I really like, that it's a unique opportunity that Marvel has now. You know, maybe instead of giving us a movie, if people really want to see Korg, why not give us a short film with him? Pixar makes short films before their movies. I think it would be a cool idea to maybe give some of these smaller characters short films of their own, maybe before a Marvel movie. They release three a year. How cool would it be to just get updates on some of the smaller, minor characters that we see in these movies recently? Korg and Meek. I mean, that would be kind of cool. How about the original Guardians of the Galaxy at the end of Volume 2? That would be kind of cool.
Yeah, but
God,
that's
I
a
don't
whole
know.
like I you but you'd see a whole movie of that though. I think for Korg and Meek, I think they're like cilantro to me. I love them whenever they are added into a recipe, but you're not going to center a whole recipe around
Well, that's why you give
them.
them a short film that you
But even
obviously.
still, like even if you have a an appetizer that is, 93% cilantro, you can be like, eh. There's a little bit more cilantro. Like, I get what you're saying, but Korg is a person that is comedic. He brings every scene to this fucking place that I absolutely love, just with his words and the way he relates. Clearly, because Taika Waititi is a Kiwi and from New Zealand, the way he relates in the fuck. The lexicon that he uses and that shit is just so fucking good. He reminds me of Murray from Flight of the Conchords a ton. He's still just good. I love Korg, but
Well, they also the really great thing about him was with this big rock guy that kind of looks like the Thing, and he has the voice that he does. At first you're like, wait, what? And then it works perfectly, and that's part of the other ch it's the charm. So I absolutely agree. I mean, I mean, hell, we keep talking about him. We were on a to go back to Hulk though. Another thing with the technical aspect of Hulk, I think they keep improving on the way he looks on film as well.
Yeah, he looks better every time.
Yes.
She literally make the way that they found the mixture of the musculature of taking Mark Ruffalo, right, and
Right.
creating the Hulk. It looks better every time we see it.
Absolutely agree.
So I like that a lot.
Now here you go. Here's a challenge here. I always ask this when we're praising a movie and we're going on and on about it. Hell, we haven't even talked about
We
Tom
didn't talk.
Hiddleston being Loki again. We didn't
Well,
talk about
fuck that.
Tessa Thompson's Valkyrie. I
We didn't
mean,
talk about Cate Blanchett's Hela,
Cate
who is right
Blanchett's
now
Hela.
the best villain to date.
The bet. Wait, hold on a minute. The best what villain to date?
Marvel villain.
No.
Yeah.
Nope. Definitely do not agree with that.
Who's a better villain?
Vulture was better in Spider-Man.
And no, absolutely
Loki
not.
was better in Thor. Loki was better in Avengers.
No. Because
Shit, man.
Loki's not a real villain.
Winter Soldier was a better in Winter Soldier.
Also, not a real villain. These are
He wasn't that.
anti-villains.
The villain of that movie was the Winter Soldier and Alexander Pierce.
The villain of that movie is Alexander Pierce. Winter Soldier, clearly, by the end of that film, is in a gray area. Hela is not in a gray area. Hela is here to destroy everything, and she is fucking good at it. Her ability to throw knives, cut motherfuckers in half, enjoy what she does, the way she talks shit, I fucking love Cate
I am
Blanchett.
not.
She tickled that the
Shit,
same
man.
way that people love Tom
All right,
Hiddleston.
so what about Vulture from Spider-Man?
Stakes are too small. Trust me. I love your boy. I love me some Keaton. Pittsburgh all day, every day. Great. Cool. Love him. Stakes are too small. Hela came to destroy Asgard and fucking succeeded.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with you. She absolutely did, and her power of throwing blades at will was also very, it was very cool. But I mean, I don't know, like in the grand scheme of things, of the three Marvel films this year, I prefer Vulture and I prefer Ego.
You're wildin'. You're killin'. You're.
I am
There's
not.
no way. No
Yes.
way. Ego does. No. Ego is like. He's in the tunnel. He's not even on the field.
All right. Well, all right. So go back to, let's see. Last year's Civil War, the only villain was really Baron Zemo. And so he doesn't count. He doesn't really count.
That's not true at all. I actually like Zemo a lot. Zemo has...
Agreed, but I'm talking
Zemo
about...
Zemo has motivation you can actually believe and give a shit about.
Yes, agreed. I'm not disagreeing with you.
The same thing that people liked about Vulture. Like, you know, you actually gave a shit about why these motherfuckers are doing what they're doing.
Which is why it was so enjoyable. Which is why it was so enjoyable.
Like, you love Vulture because at the end of the day, Peter still has to get through this motherfucker because that's his girl's pops.
Yeah.
Like, the scene in the car is great. Great. Yes. I don't want to diminish how much I liked Michael Keaton. But I feel like that was a product of possibly better writing for the villain and better script work for the villain. I felt like Cate Blanchett probably did a better job of being a villain.
I don't know. I just don't agree.
And that's okay. You can have your opinion.
And this is not me saying, I liked Hela quite a bit. I thought she was a really great villain. I just, in the grand scheme of Marvel villains, there's not, for as many good ones as they have, unfortunately, they have the same or more bad ones. And, you know, I'm trying to think. I mean, I liked Loki better in the first Avengers movie. I'm trying to think of the other ones in the early ones. Like, I liked Obadiah Stane in Iron Man, but it's hard to go back that far. I mean, I really liked him there. Loki was a good villain in Thor.
We get it. You like Loki. We get it.
But everybody loves Loki, though.
Sure.
I mean, he's their best villain. I think that's the easy call for best villain of all of these MCU films.
But that's because he goes back and forth.
Agree.
Loki, he's the god of mischief.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like he plays all sides all the time.
But you know, Marvel, and this is always lobbed at them. But I mean, you know, they've slipped a bit with the villains because, you know, Loki is a major character in the comics and he's been made a major character in the movies. They've had characters that are equally as big in the comics, like Red Skull. I mean, Red Skull is a very big character in the comics.
Red Skull's huge.
They balked at him in the movies.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunate because he's a really great character. I mean, even Baron Zemo, I don't think we're going to see him ever again. And
we shouldn't. We shouldn't.
No, you're absolutely right.
The way he's portrayed in the film, we shouldn't see Zemo again. But Red Skull is, I mean, we kind of devalued him to the point of just being a Nazi. Like, we whittled him down to just being a Nazi. Right?
Which is a shame, yes. And that's a shame. Because Hugo, not only, I mean, and Hugo Weaving is a really great actor. Yep. And they kind of squandered that character. I mean, hell, even, and everybody forgets about Abomination. He's a great Hulk, though. Now, look, he's not going to be remembered as one of the best Marvel villains, but, I mean, I enjoyed the character for what he was. I mean, it's hard to pull off the Abomination on film, but I thought they did a pretty good job of it.
I think Red Hulk is probably a better villain, but the way the Hulk is set up now, we'd never see a Red Hulk. It wouldn't make sense to have a Red Hulk.
No. You're right. They shouldn't do a Red Hulk.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just certain things I don't think they need to touch on in the films, and that's just one of them. I mean, hey, look, fans would eat it up. I mean, if we saw Red Hulk, we'd all be like, oh, that was pretty cool too. But I'm not sure they need to go there.
Yeah, they don't. They don't. So
back to the Hela thing. I liked her as a villain. I'm not on board with her being the best MCU villain.
That's fine.
I tell you what. So my question was going to be, what didn't you like? Is there anything you didn't like about the movie?
No, I didn't have a whole lot of issues with the film. I enjoyed it tremendously.
Okay.
Like, the film got like 8.5, 9 for me. Like, I really like Thor.
Oh wow, so you're going okay, that you're going high. I see. I'd go I'd probably go an 8.
Okay. Yeah. So I think is I would the lowest I'd go is probably 8.5.
Okay.
Really enjoyed it. The only issues I had with the film probably were they're maybe on Sakaar a little long. But
Well, that's interesting. I haven't really thought of it like that. I don't know that I agree with that. I think they split it up pretty well. I mean, the Asgard destruction was pretty cool. And by the way, boy, they really thinned the herd of some of the main characters of that. Those
oh yeah,
warriors
I mean all of the Thor's, Thor's mythos is gone within the
Yeah.
MCU. Like, those motherfuckers went immediately.
Yep.
It was like Carl Urban and his like the motherfuckers are gone.
Now, I'll be honest. If they do get rid of, let's say that the only survivors from Thanos, getting their ship are Loki, Thor, and Hulk, and even, I mean, I'm thinking the Loki may not last much longer, but I wouldn't be mad at it. You know what I mean? I mean, I know, yeah, we lose characters like Heimdall and Korg, but
Yeah.
I mean, again, it raises the stakes a little bit, which is, I think, pretty important for these movies now. They now that they've established 20 something movies, I mean, you're gonna have to start killing people. And
Yeah. You gotta take people off the board, but Loki can't die. He's got a mischief. And he has to give up one of the fucking stones, so
oh, I understand. And
maybe
hey,
that is how he dies. I don't know.
I mean, that's maybe it is. I'm just you're gonna have to. I mean, not only, and you just got to go logically here. I mean, they're just not gonna be able to keep all these actors around too. So,
Yeah.
it,
Yeah,
you know,
somebody's gotta go at some point.
right. So, but no, I would probably give for Ragnarok. I would give it a, I'd give it an 8. I really liked it. I don't, in the grand scheme of the Marvel movies, I think I like both Guardians movies better.
Yeah, I think I like this better than number two.
And then there's like the I always say the Guardians and the Guardians in this movie are kind of like in the like that's next for me because the best ones are still Winter Soldier, the first Avengers, Civil War, and the first Iron Man.
Okay.
And then I'd go the second tier would be the Guardians films and then this one, Thor, the this Thor movie. Oh no, and I really like Spider-Man Homecoming too. I like that quite a bit.
Homecoming's good. I don't know if it's gonna crack anywhere in the top six, though.
See, I now that I'm thinking about it, I liked Homecoming better than Thor. So,
I
which it,
didn't. I
I'm
didn't.
surprised that I'm saying that. I would have never
I was
guessed that.
surprised you're saying that
That's,
too.
but I really enjoyed Spider-Man Homecoming quite a bit,
I
and.
liked Homecoming. I didn't like it more than Ragnarok, though. As much as I like Ned, as much as I love the fact, all stuff that I really liked Ragnarok, even the
Well, I
iteration.
think I'm gonna relate it like this. I was never a big Spider-Man film fan. You know, like my favorite before Homecoming was the very first Sam Raimi one.
Yeah.
And
When
so,
popular convention tells you that number two is everybody else's favorite.
well, but it's not that. It's just I didn't get in. Like Homecoming made Spider-Man a just a not a fit. You know, it just made Spider-Man work for me. You know, it took that long to make him work for me. Whereas Thor, hey, while the movie wasn't near as good, they managed to nail Thor in the first movie that they did in, back in 2010 or whenever it was. I mean, I can't believe that that movie worked the way it did. So
Well,
for
it's a different film, though. That Kenneth Branagh, the Shakespearean.
yeah, but what I guess what I'm saying is Thor worked a lot earlier on film than Spider-Man did, so that when
It
they
did, but it's a
finally
different
get.
Thor. It's a Thor for a different universe.
Well, yeah, it's just it's an intro. I mean,
So,
it's an origin
I
story.
agree, but the Shakespearean Thor that we got from Kenneth Branagh does not fit into the Marvel universe as it now stands.
Well, yes, you're right. But the Hulk that they introduced when Edward Norton was Hulk doesn't fit in right now. I mean,
correct, which is why we don't see any of that.
And Iron Man doesn't really fit into. I understand what you're saying. We're saying the same thing. We're just arguing for the sake of argument, and we're not.
Are we?
Yeah.
Are we, Scott?
Yes. Yes.
I don't think we are.
Stop it.
No.
Stop it.
I refuse. I don't think that's true at all. You're not going to engage? Is that what you're doing now?
Silent treatment.
It's a fucking stupid idea on a podcast.
Yeah, man. Just go back and edit that one out. Like, it'll be like, man, Scott's giving me the silent treatment. And then when you go back and listen to it, I'll just start talking.
Yeah. So you gave it an 8. I really liked it. For whatever reason, you think that Spider-Man's better.
It does. I gave Spider-Man a 9. That's why I said I liked it better.
Do you keep track of what you rated it?
I try to, yes.
Okay, so you have a little, like a piece of paper or something, or a file?
I think I do, actually, yes. I mean, I've typed them out enough to remember it. So, well, I guess the reason I do that is I'm trying to be, I want to try and be consistent. You know, if I give a movie that I try to be or have the ratings be consistent, even with the horror ratings we give, you know, so if I, you know, I'm trying to think when I saw Split, I really, really liked it. But having come down a little bit, I don't think I liked it as much as I did when I first saw it.
Yeah, sure.
Spider-Man to me has not had that drop. And I've recently rewatched it, and it still hits where it needs to hit, in my opinion.
Okay, so I haven't rewatched it since the first time I saw it in the theater.
Okay.
So maybe if I rewatch it, I'll...
Well, this year, I'm trying to think of the one movie that holds up as much as I liked it, and even better, is even more so, is I really liked Logan quite a bit.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's still my favorite film of the year that I've seen across the board. So, I mean, then that's held up. And the other one is Get Out. Get Out's held up as well. And those two films, more so than the other ones, haven't really lost any of their luster to me. And, you know, having seen Spider-Man, I would say that. I really like Dunkirk as well. That was a really great film. But, you know, I just saw Thor. My knee jerk was I liked it. I didn't like it as much as other movies. And the movies that I liked better, I gave better review or better numbers than 8. So it gets an 8.
Okay. All right. I'm not gonna argue with you over this. You're wrong, but
see, hey, if we always and isn't it great? We're arguing about an 8, 8.5.
Yeah. that's where Marvel is.
Yeah. Marvel movies are so good. I've rewatched that Infinity trailer, I don't know, 4 or 5 times. And the fifth time, I was still excited to watch it.
It's an exciting setup, man. The stakes are high. Like, you know, one of the things that really makes these movies is that they've literally gotten us to the point where we give a shit about every character that's going to be there. And the idea that we know someone's getting taken off the board, that shit matters.
Well, we were watching, I showed Erica the trailer, and she kind of goes, wait, what? When they showed Paul Bettany, not his Vision. It was just him as a human. She goes, wait, what? I'm like, yeah, see? Like, yep. You're even caring about the dude that later in the trailer, they show getting speared in the head.
Yeah, I mean, to get his fucking Infinity Stone.
Yes.
Right out of his head. Now, was it in the gauntlet, though? So you said you watched it 4 times. Was it in the gauntlet?
The only two that you ever see in the gauntlet are the Tesseract Stone that Loki had, which I'm assuming that's him giving Thanos the cube.
Yeah, and then trying to you know, make a deal for his life.
Correct. And then the only other one was the purple one, and that was in the first Guardians.
Yep.
So that one was, I think at the end of that movie, they gave it to the Nova Corps.
Yep.
And so I'm assuming that maybe the first scene of the movie will show Thanos going and destroying the Nova. I don't know. If we even see it. I mean, maybe he'll.
Yeah, he may already have it. Correct. You know what I mean?
Or it'll be like a flashback that's quick. About, I mean, maybe he just went, just fucked him up and got it.
Yeah, or he sent the Ebony Maw.
Hey, there you go.
That's
you the, just like you just like saying that.
I do. I love that name, the Ebony Maw. That's a cold ass name.
I'll be honest. Remember when we were talking about like it's hard to be a badass henchman?
Yeah.
I mean, these Thanos, these characters, I think are gonna approach that level.
Yeah, I mean they're fucking hardcore, man.
I mean any one of them could whoop the entire Avengers lineup.
Generally, well, they do in the.
I mean. In the Infinity story, I mean, one of them now, the only difference is there's five of them in the comics. They took one off for the movie.
Yeah, there's so like four.
And then they changed the name of the big, like, strong hulking one.
Yeah, he's the one that they sent to just catch wreck on everybody.
That's who they sent to Wakanda in the comics. He was like a juggernaut alien, kind of. And he in the comics his name is Black Dwarf, which is it's a star or it's a galactic entity. It's like a star that collapses on itself. Well,
yeah,
they changed the name for the movie, but everything else is the same. The dude or the girl that throws her spear at Captain America in the trailer, that girl, that spear is like was made from a star. And she's like whipping this thing around. That's like her weapon is like a star that happens to be a spear.
Yeah. So imagine the amount of motherfuckers that she's going to take off.
Yeah. Well, and then the guy whose spear was in Vision's head, that dude's spear, as long as that guy holds it, he can't die. And that blade is able to cut through anything. Like he can cut air. And then there's your Ebony Maw. He's got a device that he can just turn on and just appear anywhere else in the entire galaxy.
Yeah. You
just kind of get from one point to the other without even doing anything.
These guys are
extremely powerful, and
yeah.
And then you got Thanos who fucking sucker punches Iron Man on his non-glove hand.
I mean, he didn't sucker punch him. He told him it was coming. Tony had probably already tried to fuck with him, and it just didn't matter. You know, Thanos is the Mad Titan. Thanos is a god. He's already a god. Like, that's the thing that gets lost in all this. Dude is already the most powerful person that they will have encountered.
Yep.
You know, we are the thing about Thanos, and I think I might have said this to you before. He approaches a DC character level.
Oh yeah.
The metahumans of DC are just so powerful.
Right.
Which is generally why they're just not that interesting to
me. And you just gave us a backdoor transition. Nice.
Bam.
Nice
move. Look at that. Nice move. Look at that segue, nice player. Nice. Look at the segue.
Jordan Pate's back.
That's it. Hey, backdoor cuts. We running the Princeton offense out here. Get some.
There it is.
You know, the DC characters, they're so powerful that you have to literally go to every type of mythology and mythos that you've ever created to have someone who can even possibly give them any type of an issue.
Yes. Yeah.
And Steppenwolf, you know, he's kind of a bitch compared to what's supposed to come with Darkseid.
Yeah. Well, so, okay. Now moving on to this one. I'm going to start as a fanboy at first. Yes, Steppenwolf was a bitch, and he was yet another bad comic book movie villain. I'm just saying comic book movie villain. I'm not saying DC villain yet. I'm keeping it in general because, again, most big comic book movies, because the stakes can't have those characters die. A lot of villains tend to fall into the, well, we know they're not going to do anything. I mean, even in Wonder Woman, which we both really liked, Ares was terrible.
Yep.
He was just, he wasn't a great character. He wasn't a great villain. Nope. And in a movie that is introducing these godlike characters that we just were explaining, you'd think that they would pick someone better than a guy that even me as a comic book fan had to look up. Like, I'm like, who the fuck is Steppenwolf? Like, really? Yep. This is the dude that you're going to have Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Flash, Cyborg, and Aquaman come together to fight?
Yeah, like, this is supposed to start your expanded universe, and you choose fucking Steppenwolf?
And all they did, and they only mentioned Darkseid's name once.
Yeah, and Steppenwolf was the one who said it.
And, like, if you're going to say it, I mean, at least Marvel showed Thanos even a split second.
Yeah, hint at him.
They showed him.
Show me an Omega Beam, something.
Well, seeing this is the problem. DC's been, DC fans cry, well, Darkseid came before Thanos. And I'm like, well, the casual fan doesn't know that, and nor will they ever.
And they won't care.
That's the fuck up.
And they won't care.
Exactly. And see, so speaking on that not care, this is the disappointing thing about the Justice League. So I'm starting as a fanboy. I remember going to see the movie because I actually thought the trailers looked, and we're talking Justice League now for those not in the know. I went in with low expectations and I left liking it more than I thought I would. Having sat back on it, this is a movie that I'm able to reflect on a little bit, and I'm a little more critical on it because of what it really represents to me. This is a movie that has three of the five main comic book characters. In fact, you could argue it has the two best known comic book characters on the entire planet.
It does. And
this is the second movie now that has had the two of them in it.
Yep.
And they still can't manage to be better than Marvel's seventh best character. I mean, Thor is among Marvel's top seven: Spider-Man, Wolverine, Iron Man, Hulk, Captain America, Thor, and Daredevil, I guess. I mean, that's just off the top of my head. But, I mean, Thor's third solo movie not only outgrossed Justice League, and will be outgrossing Justice League, it was a more enjoyable movie.
Yeah, and much better. It blew it away, too.
And I'm like, is that really what we're supposed to have? I mean, keep in mind how exciting The Avengers was when we first watched it.
Yeah. I mean,
when Avengers came out, I mean, that movie was goosebump-inducing, just seeing all these characters on screen. And at the time, Iron Man, Captain America, Thor, and Hulk weren't as big as they are now. Now we can't imagine them not being these huge characters. But then, they were just, as comic fans, they were huge to us. But to the casual person, they were like, oh, these guys are pretty cool. And now they're icons. I mean, it's just, they're the icons that DC looks at and goes, well, wait a minute. We have Batman. You know, I mean, Batman is Batman. Yeah. And Christopher Nolan made it work. But for some reason, Ben Affleck does a good job playing Bruce Wayne. He does a good job at playing Batman.
Yeah, I don't hate his Batfleck.
No, not at all. And he's not the problem. It's the lack of focus. It's the unfortunate circumstances that befell this movie and their original director. It's the tone shifts that don't work. It's the villain that doesn't work. It's some of the supporting characters that don't work. There's a lot that just doesn't work. That said, what I really enjoyed about the movie was, I mean, I went in thinking that Flash would bug the shit out of me. I actually liked him quite a bit.
Ezra Miller was probably my favorite character out of the whole film.
Yes. He was much more enjoyable than I would have ever imagined, because that's not Barry Allen. He's kind of playing Wally West more.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. Because Barry's a much more straight shooter.
Correct. And so as a comic fan, I'm a purist. I want to see these characters as they should appear. And so I was a little like, well, I don't know if that's going to work. And it actually worked pretty well. I mean, all these teams have the Joker of the team, or they have that guy that quips and stuff. And you know, you could argue the Avengers have an entire team of people like that, but he's kind of that version for the Justice League, and it worked. It actually worked pretty well, and I thought he looked pretty good on screen too.
Okay.
So I just rambled on and on about Justice League. What are your thoughts here?
So the biggest thing about Justice League was that you can literally tell which parts were Joss and which parts were Zack Snyder.
Yes.
Like the aesthetic is so fucking clear. The edict from the Warner Brothers top office people that the runtime had to be under 2 hours really hurt the continuity of this film.
Agreed.
You know, they were trying to find ways to create some drama and make the team difficult to be around each other, and then the next thing you know, they're all best friends.
Yep.
You know, there was tension between Aquaman and a cyborg, which I really, really liked. And all of a sudden, then they were best friends.
Yeah.
The exposition is necessary there for, you know, a continuous movie that makes sense in the way of storytelling. And we just didn't get that.
Yep.
Cyborg, I like a lot, but like half of that shit didn't even really make sense.
I'm glad you brought that up. Cyborg's a character that, well, I remember when DC made the push to move him as a main member of the team, I was never a big fan of that because
he's a Teen Titan.
Well, but Martian Manhunter is a great character and they just let him go. And I just don't understand why. I do understand why they did it, but there's an easy fix to that, in my opinion. I mean, the Justice League cartoon did it really, really well by having Jon Stewart be Green Lantern. And I just don't understand why they just maybe just didn't go that way. I mean, and I'm talking about the comic now, not the movie, but
okay.
And I'm transitioning into the movie now. They've put so much weight on Cyborg now as being the Justice League's black character that it feels disappointing now because he's just not that great a character. And
yeah, I mean, the majority of his best character building comes through Teen Titan stories.
Correct. Well, because he's a teenager that is struggling after his father brought him back to life. He didn't want to be there.
He wanted to die. Like, he was good with dying. Like, he had made peace with the idea that this, you know, incredibly tragic accident had befallen him, and he was good to die.
Right.
You know, but he got brought back to life, and he's like, but I'm a fucking machine. Like, there's nothing left. One of the best stories about Cyborg was when he recognized that there's still a lot of humanity left in him. You know, he could say, I can't lift anything over this amount. My readouts tell me that I'm at 100%.
Right.
You know, but when the chips were down, his friends were hurt, he realized he could push higher than 100% because there was a human element still left inside of him.
Yes.
That sort of thing, that to humanize him and make him more relatable, was great for comics, great for storytelling, but we don't get any of that in the movie.
Nope.
And, you know, the only thing is we get as soon as, whenever he's around, all cameras start to flicker. You know what I mean? Like, that's what it boiled down to.
But that's just, man, that's what I'm talking about. It's a cheap way. And again, I'm talking back at the comics and now transitioning into the movies. It was a cheap way to try and shoehorn a black character onto the team when they had options other than that still are better. Hal Jordan's a fine Green Lantern, but like Jon Stewart is a really great character. And
yeah, but I mean, I think the Hal Jordan Green Lantern piece isn't even canon at this point. So
No. It's not. What I'm saying is that if the cartoon can get it right, I mean, I think the films could probably follow suit. And
Cyborg's there in the cartoon now too.
Say again.
Cyborg's there in the cartoon as well.
Oh, I know he is. I know. And well, and again, Martian Manhunter is usually portrayed
As a black man,
as a black guy, so why not just do that too? And it's a little confusing,
He's
and
portrayed that way in Supergirl.
yeah, you're right. He's portrayed that way in most versions of Martian Manhunter. He's his like alter ego is a black guy.
John Jones.
John Jones, yeah, man. I mean, and Martian Manhunter is such a great character, and
He's second most powerful to Superman, but they, for whatever reason, his powers always seem to get truncated.
Well, because he, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, on the Justice League, he was always number seven. I mean, that's just how it always really worked out. He was the only one of the seven of them that didn't have his own comic book, and he was the, and that's held true forever. And when they've tried to push him as his own guy, it never really worked. Again, I think this plays to the strength of why I like him. I think just like Black Widow, Hawkeye, and Hulk, to me, work better as supporting characters. I love the idea of a main guy still being supporting of all the other guys, and that's kind of what Martian Manhunter is, and it worked really, really well.
Yeah, at this point, absolutely.
So, you know, but back to Cyborg, it just it I want to like the character in this movie or just in general, and I'm just he, I think he's okay with the Teen Titans. I'm still not a huge fan of him, but it just the portrayal of him was, I mean, he looked okay. Ray Fisher is not a bad actor by any stretch of
He's
the
not,
imagination.
and I think he did a lot with what he got.
Yes.
But it's hard, man. Like, you just threw this dude in here, and you're supposed to find a way to have him be the same level of relatability that you have from Jason Momoa as Aquaman, which is not true at all. 'Cause Jason Momoa is great. His kind of rock star.
I like that better than I thought I would too.
I did too, absolutely.
Now
And
it was by
I
the
could
end of
see a
the
movie for
movie.
it.
Yeah, I can't do, but by the end of the movie, I was kind of like, man, I bought into it because I like that he's not the king of Atlantis yet. And I that's why I buy into him being the cocky surfer bro guy.
Arthur
It
Curry.
works because of the timing. And that's kind of why Flash works. Flash isn't the hero yet. And that's, I liked what they did with Flash and Aquaman not being the heroes yet. With Cyborg, he's never been that way. So it never, it, the transition to me never really made it. You know what I mean? I didn't get the jump as much as I did with the other two. Because the other two, I mean, Flash is an icon now. Aquaman, DC's tried to claim him as an icon. I don't know if I'd go that far, but, the new characters as a whole worked better than I thought they would going into the film. Affleck was fine, and hell, we haven't even mentioned Gal Gadot. I mean, she still is killing it as Wonder Woman.
I like Gal Gadot's portrayal. One of the things you can tell is the rewrites and kind of the repositioning of the people on the team is a direct response to how well received Wonder Woman was.
Agree, but I don't necessarily think that's, I think that's a smart change.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
I mean, she had to be, I mean, leading up to the movie, you probably assumed all everybody probably assumed Batman was going to be the main guy, and that's fine. You know, I have no problem with that, but after Wonder Woman, you kind of got to make her the main person.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially in this version of DC
Yes.
universe.
Well,
She
in all honesty, each of the main characters really had equal screen time for the most part. I mean, they all had, you know, we got backstory from the new characters. We got backstory fill-ins about Batman and Wonder Woman. We got,
Diana got the most screen time. And that's
I mean,
okay.
again, it's obvious and we understand why. But I mean, the screen time was, I mean, it was pretty spread out for. For that was another surprising thing. I was surprised they gave as much screen time as they did to all the characters equally for you know it for the most part.
Yeah,
So that
for
was
the most part.
kind of I thought that was kind of a fresh take for team.
I like that. Here's the thing about this movie. It's so disjointed. so difficult for me to enjoy a film that's this disjointed. Tonally, aesthetically, it looked different in places. And it was jarring. And yeah, like I definitely enjoyed it more than I thought it was going to. I thought it was going to be a flaming pile of shit, but it's not that at all. It's an
No, it's
enjoyable
not.
film, flawed, but enjoyable. Villain's bad.
Well, so what, how did you feel about, I don't wanna, I how did you feel about number six? We haven't
Button.
mentioned him yet. Superman.
Oh, I mean that's not any fucking this Superman I like more than Man of Steel Superman and definitely more than Batman vs Superman.
Okay.
He is so very much in tune with his powers. He understands his
Which,
powers.
by the way, that first scene of him coming back and fighting them, like in the
Yeah.
middle of that was tight.
That might be my favorite scene in the whole film.
Well, I mean, the favorite little mini part of that was him, them trying to stop him and Flash trying to run around him and him looking at him and Flash realizing like, whoa.
Yeah, this dude can see me.
Well, even as the viewer, I was like, yep. I mean, that, like, I'm not even a big Superman fan. And I was like, see that right there? That's how powerful he is. If you can show on screen how, like, the cool parts of a really powerful character like that, that's
Yeah.
when you can really get into it.
With the Speed Force, I can watch you and see where you're going.
Right? And it
Yeah.
worked really, really well. Yeah, I mean, this is the. See now, I'm one of the. I liked Man of Steel because I'm not a big Superman fan, so I didn't mind the darker tone of it. That
Yeah.
said,
It's
he
over
was
long.
better.
I
Well,
like Michael Shannon. I like Michael Shannon a lot, actually.
oh, Michael Shannon's now. See, Michael Shannon is a good one-off comic book villain. He was
Yeah, he's
fantastic.
great. But see, I don't even call him a comic book villain because he's such a really talented actor. He's good in pretty much anything you put him in. He
Well,
found a
that's fine.
way.
Yes,
He
he.
found a way to make Zod relatable. You know what I
Sure,
mean?
absolutely.
Like, you felt it, and you felt Zod, and
And
even
then he
if you
became
didn't.
him.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
So I and it, before we get to ratings or whatever, I liked some of the other little DC universe building stuff they did as well. The post credit stuff was I liked it for the most part. I thought that it worked. I think that
Was it
they.
Joe Manganiello?
Yeah, as Deathstroke, which is, I
Yep.
mean, Deathstroke's just a great character. Jesse Eisenberg was better in that scene than the entirety of Batman v Superman.
Yep.
Which, again, it's not great, but it's better than that. I realize that he's among the worst villains that have ever been on film in a comic book movie.
Yep.
But he's wearing the suit and he's bald now and he's kind of cocky in a not hateable way. So. I'll buy into it for what it is. The other little beat that I really liked, and this was a minor one, but I enjoyed seeing it, was we did get a glimpse of a Green Lantern, and that was a small part that I really enjoyed seeing in the movie. It,
There was three or four of them.
well, whatever you,
And
I
one
mean,
of them went
that
down.
battle during that battle, you got to see some Green Lanterns in action, and that was it's good built like character building. Without
Yep.
actually having to focus on it that much.
Yeah, because it just lets you know that in this world, Green Lanterns exist.
Correct.
And
And
they fight for good, and
there was a line in one of the trailers where Steppenwolf made a comment, there's no Kryptonian, there's no lanterns, and
yep.
that was kind of why he made the move. And I'm like, that line is terrific. And it wasn't even in the movie.
Yeah, it's a huge, huge movie. I think it was in a movie. I think it was. I think it was really early on when they were still in a Wonder Woman land. In
Oh yeah,
Themyscira.
Themyscira.
Yeah, they're still in Themyscira.
Okay, well, I mean, but the point being, that line right there also is just one simple line that says, "We've got a bigger universe that you guys don't know about yet, and we all we did was throw a seed out there. That's it,
Yep.
and now we can build from that." Because the question becomes, if that Green Lantern died during that battle, where the fuck was a Green Lantern for Earth during Steppenwolf taking over? I mean, that's kind of an interesting plot point that I think they can make an entire movie on, really.
Yeah.
And
sure.
That's kind of a clever, that's one of the most clever things that this that Warner Brothers has done with the DC universe thus far.
Yep.
So.
Yep. You know, it's and I think that was actually Zack Snyder, to be honest. I wouldn't give him some credit.
No, you know, he's not. Look, I'm going to transition this into the rating. The rating for me for this was, initially, my knee-jerk reaction to this was a 7. And a 7 to me represents, I enjoyed it much more than it was a good movie. I walked out of it and I had low expectations and I enjoyed it more than I thought I would. So I remember back the good parts more than the bad parts. And this is unfortunately how I review most of the DC movies. Batman v Superman, I remember the parts I liked better than what I didn't like. Suicide Squad, same exact thing. I remembered what I didn't like more than what I did like. Or I remember what I did like more than what I didn't like. I found myself doing the exact same thing with Justice League, which made me reevaluate the 7. Because 7 signifies that it's better than it is. And again, in trying to keep with my ratings here, I gave Batman v Superman, I believe I gave a 4.5.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And Suicide Squad, I think I gave a 6.5. And that,
you liked Suicide Squad, though.
I did, and that's, again, I gave it the rating because I loved what they did with Deadshot.
Yep.
And I really liked Harley Quinn, and yep. I just liked the idea of the Suicide Squad more than really how they pulled it off. And Amanda Waller was really great, and Viola Davis is always good. But this movie is, I think it's quality wise, it's a 6 at best. And if I'm giving it a 7, I think I'm going to split the difference and go 6.5. It's more enjoyable than it is a good movie. And unfortunately, if DC keeps making movies like this, they're going to bottom out very quickly. And Wonder Woman can't keep this whole thing alive. I mean, I gave Wonder Woman, I think I gave Wonder Woman like an 8 or an 8.5. So yeah. I really liked Wonder Woman quite a bit too. So
I thought Wonder Woman was great. And I think they'll be hard pressed to move away from the concept that they have now, right? Take a small enclosed story where you highlight what makes this particular hero worthwhile. Okay? That's what made the Wonder Woman story great.
Yep.
The whole thing is a goddamn flashback. Good. The underlying romantic tones between Bruce and Diana. Very cool. But, you know, motherfucker dick went limp as soon as Superman came out. It was like, ooh, that's what a real power is.
Right. Right.
You know, do you bleed? That was some cold-blooded shit.
Absolutely.
Some cold-blooded shit. But there was a lot of fun to the after effects, which I think was Joss.
Right.
I think the dark tone was Zach, and I think that was a really well-done scene. But I think the after part was all Joss.
Yes. Well, like the one post credit scene of the race, that was straight up Joss.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, that's definitely taken right out of the comics, right out of the Superman the animated series. You ever see that?
It's straight out of they used to do, and this is a little trivia here. They used to do comics about the two of them racing for charity, and they would do it like annually.
Yep.
And so that scene was just, you know, I'm not even a huge DC fan, but those issues were always kind of cool because it was like, you know, if they were real, that seems like something that they would do as really big celebrities. And it just kind of, I don't know, it's kind of a dorky way that works kind of in the film. So I appreciated that.
I liked it, particularly because I felt like they're embracing some of the lighter side of these characters.
Correct.
You have the Flash and Ezra Miller, like I said, I feel like this motherfucker stole the show. I felt like he was the most enjoyable fucking part of that movie every time he's on. And I liked watching him go through his whole thing.
Yeah, I agree.
I liked watching him figure stuff out, and he's not as Ryan Reynolds wise ass-ish, but he's good. You know what I mean? And I was happy with that. So.
So the people want to know, Damon, what's your score?
Six.
Six. Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, so I'm going. Another thing I wanted to mention on the 6.5, we gave Alien Covenant 6, and this was better than Alien Covenant.
It's more enjoyable, but
Yes.
but like I said, it's so disjointed, I can't get past it.
I mean,
So,
I can't argue that. So
no, it's
it's
just
just
it's a difficult film to score
it's it's it's
because
it's
there are,
just disappointing. It's
yeah, there's
disappointing.
some really good elements in there, like the parts that you enjoy and you like, you really really like them, and then the parts that you don't like, you're like, oh, this is some
Well, because,
bullshit.
and unfortunately, I said I gave Batman v Superman a 4.5 because the parts that don't work, Lex Luthor was awful.
Yeah.
Doomsday was awful. I mean,
Yeah.
you can't forgive some of that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, those are the biggest moments in the whole fucking film.
Right. And it now, I mean, I've found myself, because I've gone back and rewatched it, but if I go back and want to, if I take anything away from that movie, I just go watch when Wonder Woman first appears and when Batman beats the warehouse goons up. Those are
Yeah.
some tight scenes. I mean, those are just great scenes. And
Yep.
they couldn't keep it up for an entire movie. And
Nope.
now look, very few movies can do that, but they definitely just shit the bed all over the place with that. And unfortunately, Justice League is more like Batman v Superman and Suicide Squad than it is Wonder Woman.
It is. You're absolutely right.
But it is, I think it's better than Batman v Superman and Suicide Squad, but I mean, that's not saying a lot.
You are correct. But it leads us to believe, what does the future hold for DC?
Well, I mean, we're at least getting Aquaman for better or worse next year.
Yep.
I think they just filmed it. I think they just got done with it, like filming it recently. James Wan is making it. I don't know what to expect from that. I hope it's more Wonder Woman than Justice League.
Yeah, Jason Momoa is great.
I mean, it should be enjoyable. I mean, it should be enjoyable.
There's something that they should take heed. Go Ragnarok style. This should be a rock and roll movie.
Yes.
There should be Jason
Well, I mean,
Momoa slaying women.
it's Aquaman for crying out loud. Like, come on. I mean, if you take him too seriously, nobody's gonna buy it. Because he's always the butt of every joke.
He is, but this Aquaman isn't.
And he shouldn't be.
He's a serious dude. He's a serious fighter.
Yes.
But he's rock and roll. He's sexy. He's dangerous. He's headstrong. He's arrogant. He's very much Thor. You know what I
Yes.
mean?
Yeah.
And they should take this and do something similar with that story. He has to recognize the responsibility that he now has. He has to recognize the power that he holds, not just in a let me, swim very fast, but this is who I am, and this is the responsibility I have to my people. And I would love to see that. I enjoyed the underwater scenes. I enjoyed a lot of that shit. And I want to see more of it. I'm just worried that there's going to be times where we're going to get bogged down in trying to be so serious. And I don't want these fucking films to be that damn serious. It's unnecessary.
Correct. And if they're going to be serious, I mean, make them better.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line. I mean, stick with one way and just do it. I mean, they brought Joss Whedon in late to start making changes, and this is before he took over for good. And it was just, you could tell, I mean, that the tone was off, and I hope for better. I mean, we've hoped for better now with DC for years. So,
yep.
And Aquaman, I mean, it's not a coincidence that that's the only thing they have absolutely in stone right now. I mean, I think they have Wonder Woman 2 in stone as well. And that's the year after. But I mean, you know, I mean, keep in mind, they had a Green Lantern movie announced. They had a Cyborg movie announced. They had a Flash movie announced, and now they're a little afraid. They don't know what to do next. And it's kind of as a result of, I mean, how's Justice League going to finish? I mean, it got blown out the second weekend by Coco.
Yep.
And that, you know, I mean, it's a Pixar, and Pixar does that, and their movies are great, but I mean, come on, DC should be making, you know, Marvel money here. And
yeah, they should, for all intents and purposes, they should be doing a ton, but they're not.
Yep.
They just aren't.
No, they're not.
Yeah, change one thing in the film, what would it be?
I would, well, I'm going to change two things in the film.
So you're already cheating.
Yeah, I know. Because my first comment was to make Steppenwolf a better character. Just pick someone better.
Yeah.
Maybe not. It doesn't have to be Darkseid. Just make him. I always thought an interesting thing. I remember back when I was. This is what I'm going to stick with. I'm not going to stick with my second one. I always liked the idea that if DC wanted to retroactively build a universe around the Justice League, that they still could have done it, and they still could have done it by tying in Christopher Nolan's Dark Knight trilogy, Man of Steel, and the Ryan Reynolds Green Lantern. Now, hear me out.
Okay.
The Ryan Reynolds Green Lantern was going to be the toughest sell there. However, what they did do in that movie, they introduced Green Lantern, and they introduced the concept of Sinestro and Sinestro's core.
Yep.
In the comics, the Sinestro Corps are infinitely cooler characters than the Green Lantern Corps, in my opinion. These are the scariest motherfuckers in the entire galaxy that come together to fuck things up. The reason I bring that up is, at the end of the movie, you actually see Sinestro get the yellow suit and ring. It's like the post-credits scene of that movie. Dark Knight could have played as the earliest of the DC characters. You could have played that trilogy as an origin of heroes in general. I mean, they left it open at the end of the movie for John Blake to be Batman, and Bruce Wayne wasn't dead.
Or and, Robin.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, but and, like, there's somebody to take up the mantle, somebody to take up the cowl, well, somebody to be a hero in a world where there's a need for heroes.
Correct.
Instead, we didn't get any of that shit.
Right. Well, and even when Superman, you could have played that as something that followed what happened in the Dark Knight trilogy. And you could have tied that back into it. Well, now Superman's around. Well, this guy's, I mean, look what Superman is compared to what we just saw with Christopher Nolan's Batman. But
yeah,
the tone was still, Man of Steel was still a pretty dark movie. It was a very dark movie.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
It could have fit with that tone. Like I said, the hardest piece to fit in would have been the Green Lantern. But the only reason I fit that in is because I wanted to use Sinestro. Sinestro, to me, would have been a really great villain, and he would have been a force to be reckoned with for a group of heroes to come together to fight. And I think they could have gotten something like that to work. Steppenwolf is just a non-existent, boring character. I mean, honestly, I had to look the dude up. I had no idea.
Yeah, me too. And that's unfortunate for people like us who pay attention, who have a familiarity, who have expectations about these characters and the movies that they're in, to pick a villain and nobody knows going in. Like, you're not excited about that villain.
Right. Well, it's just like, I mean, keep in mind the worst villains in Marvel. I mean, the Dark Elf dude, Thor the Dark World. I mean, who the fuck is that guy?
Yeah, that was. I mean, but no, if you're familiar with Thor, then you know that guy. If you're not familiar with Thor, then yeah, who the fuck is that guy? And that's how you feel about it, you know? I think there was. It's a missed opportunity, which is kind of what a lot of the DC movies have been up until this point, other than Wonder Woman.
Yep.
A lot, just missed opportunities.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're in a place now where if I could change one big thing, it would just to just let Joss do all of it. Or, no, let the runtime be 2 hours and 30 minutes.
Well, or you say let Joss do all of it. I mean, the problem was the tone, or just let Snyder do it. Just let him do his version of it. I mean,
that version wasn't going to be very good, man.
I understand that, but by interjecting Joss Whedon, they did it simply because he made Avengers work, and they thought, it'll make Justice League work too. Well,
he would have.
Yeah, but they brought him in entirely too late. They never changed the date. There were so many things that were stacked against Justice League, and they simply thought, they sat back in their chair and said, nah. People will go and see Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, and Flash together on screen. Why wouldn't they?
Look, they were at the point, if they moved the date, they're in January. Because Thor ate all their lunch money. Thor just took their lunch money.
Oh, yeah.
But if they wait anymore, now they're up against Star Wars.
Yeah.
Which is going to eat well into the new year.
Well, look, yes, they were between a rock and a hard place. And... I had told you earlier, I read an article mentioning the Frankenstein shit. I mean, that's what it feels like. It was pieced together.
It's a Franken movie. It's like one of my old editing jobs.
And it's just kind of unfortunate. I mean, it is. It's a missed opportunity. I mean, these characters deserve better. And, I mean, hell, you know what's funny? I just talked to somebody at a comic store, and they said... What's sad about Justice League is that the recent CW crossover they just had is better.
All the DC TV shit works way better.
Which like that shouldn't be. That shit's on CW. And that shit is just teen drama bullshit. And like, they managed to do it better.
Apparently, they understand their characters so well.
And the DC animated universe, we've brought this up every time we talk about it. I mean, there are people out there who are making things work, and yet they just they're giving it to the wrong people. They're not getting this stuff right tonally for the most part. Not everything has to be fucking dark and different than Marvel. And embrace what you have. Batman is a dark character. That doesn't mean that Flash is. That doesn't mean that Aquaman is. That doesn't mean that Superman is. I mean, embrace what you have as opposed to trying to force it to be different. And look, they tried to make it like the Avengers by bringing in Joss Whedon, and it still didn't work.
And they did everything they could to make it like the Avengers. You know, there's a humanity aspect to the way that the films work, that like an overarching theme of humanity that was in Batman vs Superman, that you know now all of a sudden Batman's like, you know, his faith is restored in humanity, and like, oh, we can do this, right? You know, there's a meme about the fact that at the end of Avengers they went and ate shawarma. Yeah. You're not going to have an introspective, you know, conversation about the state of man and duality of man. You're going to fucking eat because you've just saved the world.
Most of those guys, keep in mind, most of the Avengers didn't know that, you know, aliens existed like that until that movie. I mean, Tony Stark was not aware that shit was real until he was sitting there watching giant worms come out of the sky.
Yeah, and went to another fucking dimension and almost didn't make it back.
And three of the Avengers had to get around on a jet and were just able to stand on the ground and stare up in the sky. And I mean, they're looking and going, what in God's name is going on? They're seeing this at the same time we are.
Yep. There's so much that happens, you know, between these films where, you know, they are, for, you know, lack of a better metahumans, gods, whatever you want to call them, right?
Yeah.
They don't have any real experience with what they're facing, other than one or two of them. So, you know, Flash's reaction is probably a lot more consistent with what would actually happen.
Right.
You know, that's how you should look at this. But that's not what happened. And to be very honest with you, the whole fake Sokovia feel to the end of Justice League was really strange.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Really fucking strange, man. But anyway, we're going to get off this shit because we spent a lot of time on Justice League.
Well, it's because it's just disappointing. I mean, that's the ultimate.
It is.
Because, I mean, if you told, like, a younger version of yourself, like, I've always been a bigger Marvel fan, and I still would have guessed that Justice League would be a better movie than The Avengers, like, back in the day. You know
There's
what I mean?
There's no way you could have told me that Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Flash, and Aquaman would fucking stink.
Yeah, and that, well, you know, it doesn't and stink. There's no way you would just tell me that it was like, eh.
Dude. A talking tree, a talking raccoon,
yeah,
a lamprey woman, and, you know, like, all the shit that comes along with
Guardians. And a wrestler. A wrestler's the best actor, or the best, like, most enjoyable actor in the group.
Yeah. Fucking Drax stealing every goddamn scene.
Yep.
You know.
Marvel won by casting Dave Bautista and making him enjoyable.
Yes. Like, you have fucking thespians on your team, and the thespians aren't winning.
Yeah.
They're losing to actors. They're losing to wrestlers.
I mean, damn. And, hey, you know, DC's probably like, yeah, we got The Rock playing Black Adam.
It's like, that shit may not even happen.
I know. Like, I know.
We may not even get there.
He's been riding so hard for that, too.
He would do a great job with it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's an incredible cast.
Like, he would do really well with it, and I would love to see, you know, him do it. The problem is Henry Cavill would have to be Superman.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Superman, like, for the same reason that Hugh Jackman got tired of playing Logan. Who wants to be in Superman shape all the time?
Right.
Who wants to walk around like that all the time? Like, that's a lie, man.
Oh, yeah.
But even still, it's disappointing. It is. It's unrealistic. It's disappointing. And, you know, hopefully they'll get their shit together. I'd like to see.
We've said that for three
out of, I know, three films right now, right?
Yeah.
But we're at the point now where the comic book wars of Marvel vs. DC is in full effect, and people are like, oh, well, you just want Marvel to be better. No. No. Why would anybody want a bad movie?
Right.
Like, that's the craziest thing that I don't understand about this entire dialogue. It's like, why would anybody want a bad movie? Everybody wants a good movie.
Yep.
Everybody wants to go in and enjoy some shit. Right. But we're just not doing that. You don't get the opportunity to.
Yep.
But, so.
Yep.
We're going to transition back to the small screen, talking about the things that DC does well on TV. Let's talk about the things that Marvel does well on TV.
Yeah.
After a couple of missteps with Iron Fist and even the disappointing Defenders, they came back really hard with Punisher.
Loved Punisher. Loved it.
John Bernthal as Frank Castle has been perfect casting.
Yep.
And they've understood the internal struggle of Frank Castle.
Yes. Which is the perfect, I mean, that's what the show is about.
Yeah. Yep. The internal struggle and the things that he's done in the past and how and why it drives him and how and why he is the person he is. And you're watching the shit now and you're thinking to yourself, wow, this motherfucker is gangster.
Yeah, he is, man. That so I remember I watched the first episode before Damon or before you, and I wrote you and said, dude, this first episode is brutal. I mean, he gets some dudes, and it is like they set it up, like they just kind of set it up, subtly through the episode, and then maybe it's the second episode when that actually happens. I'm getting a little, but it's early on in the show. And they're setting it up subtly about what he's going to do. And then when he finally does it, it's just, man, I mean, they go there. I mean, this is rated R. This is rated R Marvel right here. And they make that work. I mean, that's the thing. Marvel can go the dark way and they make it work.
Yeah, they also they live in their choice.
Sure. Well,
They
sure.
they don't flip flop. They don't go back and forth. They live in the choices. So this is who our character is. These are his flaws. These are the things that he does well. This is
Well,
who he
for the
is. This
most
is the
part,
Punisher.
Netflix stuff is that way.
Yes and no. I think they kind of dilly-dally with the Defenders. The tone of the first three episodes that didn't go throughout the entire show. It's probably what hurt it.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is, as a most part, I mean, Daredevil, Jessica Jones, and even Luke Cage, which is disappointing, itself. However,
Big missed steps there, yeah.
those three shows are, for all intents and purposes, are good, as well as Punisher. I might even say Punisher I like better than those three.
I think Punisher's probably their most complete work. I still think it could use 3 to 4 episode trim.
Yeah, but every one of them has been 13 episodes except the Defenders.
Yeah, no. And I understand that. I still wish it were smaller.
Yes, I mean, 10 episodes would be okay. 8 would be probably best.
Yeah. Look, if the Stranger Things kids can get 9 episodes,
And be as good as it is. Yeah.
We need to adopt that BBC style of tell your story. Whatever it is, tell your story. And then, however many episodes that is, tell that story. And afterwards, we'll see what it is. But, the idea that we have to have a particular number of episodes is really fucking frustrating.
Right.
Jon Bernthal's been great. I really liked him.
He's phenomenal. Absolutely great. He's
Yeah,
perfect
he,
character.
dude. I know we all talked about the last Punisher, whom I think everybody agreed was really the one who was in the short,
Yeah.
and he was good in that. He was great in the short, right?
Oh, Thomas Jane.
Yeah, Tom Jane, right? He was great in the short of the Punisher. This is way better.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
So, I'm really, really happy with what they were able to not just like work out, but what they were able to create. They created a separate world that didn't have the aesthetic of the Defenders. It wasn't all Hell's Kitchen. It wasn't the Hand. It wasn't, the Catholic guilt of Daredevil. This was a legitimate different story.
Yeah.
And I really liked it. Your girl Karen, who I think may have kind of overstated her importance in all of this,
Yeah.
but
You know what? I got a soft spot for Deborah Ann Woll, though, so
hey, and I completely understand that. I know a lot of people love Deborah Ann Woll from her time on True Blood and even her time in Daredevil, but
I know where you're I know where you're coming from, though. I get it.
I mean, I think at this point she
She was there for continuity purposes.
Yes. And I think there are times where there we tend to think the continuity aspect means more than it probably should.
Sure, absolutely. But
And
you know what? I appreciate it, and I'm still if I was really being nitpicky, I'm of the belief that Marvel should tie all of it together. All I want is just a scene. That's it. It doesn't have to be anything big. I'm not sitting there saying that Daredevil has to swing around with Spider-Man and Captain America. I just want to see if something, explodes in New York City, that Daredevil's like, oh, there's something exploding in New York City. There's acknowledgement. And I think they can do that. And I'm holding out hope that perhaps they're going to do that with these Infinity movies. I think it'd be an easy way. Everything films at the same time. I think you could easily just show Phil Coulson and the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. sees that something happens, and then Daredevil sees it. You know what I mean? It's just an easy, quick glimpse that hey, everything is happening at the in the same world. I mean, now they have the Runaways going on right now. I mean, they
They
have.
do, and I haven't kept up as much as I would have liked with that particular storyline.
I haven't even started it, and I'm not really super familiar with it. But that's on the radar to start up here soon.
Yeah, I've looked at some of it. It's not bad.
Well, I mean, the comic it's based on is, was written. One of the stories was written by Joss Whedon too. That it's a fan favorite. People really like those characters, and I just don't really know a lot about them. So I can't even count. I don't even know that I can name one of the characters
Me
off the top
neither.
of my head.
Me
So,
neither.
but I mean, that's in the Marvel universe as well, and they got that new Warriors show coming up. That's going to be a superhero comedy. Team, and Cloak and Dagger is going to be a team drama that's going to be in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I mean, they got a lot of shit coming up here that, I mean, it's stretching thin.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a little ambitious, and I'm okay with that. But the bigger thing, and this is what we talked about in the past, do right by the characters in these small spaces.
Yes.
Everybody felt like they tried to do way too much with Luke Cage, whether that was due to Mahershala Ali's filming schedule or what. We lost the best actor, even better than Mike Coulter,
Oh yeah. He
on
was
the
one of the
fourth
best.
episode.
He was one of the best characters on the Netflix shows, period.
Period.
And
Period.
he was only in what, four episodes?
Four episodes.
That's it. And that's a damn shame. They should have flip-flopped him and Diamondback on that show, and that then Luke
Hell
Cage
yeah.
would have been as good as Daredevil and Jessica Jones and Punisher.
At least by but it probably would have been better to me.
Yeah, no. It would have no. You're not. Look, I told you this before, and I'll say it again. Jessica Jones currently has the best comic book. Daredevil has the best show. Luke Cage is the best character, and that's never changed. Luke Cage is one of my favorite Marvel characters. He's phenomenal, and so the show, I enjoyed it because we got to see Luke Cage. In fact, I would probably say I loved his introduction in Jessica Jones. Better. I just liked seeing him. And when he put that circle saw on his stomach, that was really cool. And his show was also disappointing at the same time. It was a kind of a combo. It's like, damn, like you really squandered a really great villain, and you shouldn't have done that, because Diamondback's not a great character. He was more annoying than anything.
He's a
And
street hustler. He shouldn't have been like this. The end all be all of 13 episodes that we're working up to. You know what I mean? I thought that was really, really unnecessary and almost a damn cop out.
correct, correct. And and then there's Iron Fist, who should work. I mean, the guy looks cool. He's got kung fu abilities. He should work. All
Iron Fist
he
is
should,
Hulk.
well, I mean, he should work better almost than the other three. And
Should.
he's the worst of the four.
The worst. His characterization is off.
But
Like,
and some of that is, I think Finn Jones is miscast.
yeah, I think so too.
And that's, you know,
miserably.
When I think of Iron Fist, you know, like my first thought was like, I mean, he's not a great actor, but he's got the martial arts downs, like Scott Adkins, or just somebody that can get in there and whoop some ass. But you also, as we've shown from these shows, you need somebody who has some acting chops too. And I just, Finn Jones isn't on, he's not a great actor. I mean, he's okay, I guess. But he's not a great kung fu guy. So.
Yeah, I mean, he said he didn't have any time to train.
Yep.
You know, apparently he just started training for season two. Like, soon as they signed on, he got into the gym and was like, all right, I got to try and get better. Like, I think they all acknowledged that season one was rushed. It wasn't good. Colleen Wing was the best character in their entire series.
Oh, yeah.
And
I think Misty Knight's going to be in Iron Fist, too.
She is. She is. I think they've already filmed some of her scenes or whatever.
Yep. Well, I know that they're due. Let's see. They filmed Jessica Jones season two and Luke Cage season two. And then I think Iron Fist season two is next. And I'm assuming Daredevil season three would follow that.
Right. You know, in this particular, like, I would almost rather just see Heroes for Hire.
Agreed.
Or whatever the all-woman team.
Oh, something with the Dragon. Daughters of the Dragon.
Daughters of the Dragon. Yeah, I would. Like, I'd rather see that than, you know.
Well, plus you could put Rosario Dawson on that show too.
That's my point.
I mean,
that's my point.
That would be tight.
So let's, you know, let's add some stuff there instead of more forced storytelling.
Kung fu action.
Yeah, for the sake of, you know, forced storytelling. You know, let's find a way to utilize some of these really great actors and talents that we have that may not necessarily play into larger superheroes.
Right.
But that's just how I feel.
Yep.
I wanted to tell you that movie Life is great. And
oh, yeah. Wait, you finally saw it.
Yeah, I did.
Isn't it kind of surprisingly enjoyable, isn't it?
It really is.
Really enjoyable. I remember after I saw that, I went to I think I went that following Tuesday after it came out for the cheap movie day around here, and I walked out and I was very pleasantly surprised. And I remember thinking, like, I really hope that this isn't better than Alien Covenant.
It is too.
And it definitely is.
Yep. But yeah. Let's wrap up episode 88. We have gone where the last show was rapid fire and real fast. We got into this one real good.
Yeah. Hey, if he keeps what I'm about to say in, man, his editing powers are going to come together for this.
Wow. Wow. Okay. Yeah. Is that a challenge?
I was even going to – this. Maybe you can edit all this out too, man. But I was going to say you could probably make that two episodes.
Oh, yeah, I guess we could. Maybe. We'll see.
Or just do like a split in half.
Yeah. We'll see. 88.1, 88.2.
There it is.
Yeah. We'll definitely see. But, yeah, thank you guys for listening. Send us your thoughts. You know, you got to hear us disagree, which doesn't happen all the time.
That's true.
So that was pretty cool.
And we were disagreeing over a 0.5 point.
Yep. Yep. So literally,
like, Marvel's nothing. So good that we're arguing over how good it is.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. No other way to put it.
I mean, and DC's so bad, we balk, and, you know. I mean, we talk about it simply because it's just, I think we're all in, like, comic book fans are in shock. I think they're just like, damn.
Yeah, I mean, this is, how does this go? How do you do this? How do you shit the bed this way?
Yep.
But, you know, before we get back into any of that type of shit, you can find us Podomatic, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, what's the Wicked Radio Network, Listenopoly, anywhere good podcasts are found, You can find me.
Facebook, Twitter, we're all over the
place. We're trying to do more on the Facebook. Or just get back into it. We know we haven't been as diligent as you would all like us to, but we'll be out there. Holler at us, man. Let's connect.
Absolutely.
And so for Scott, I'm not even going to say for you. You can say it yourself, man. We out this bitch.
Peace.